U.S. factory activity slowed.
Based on hitting a shareholder value as market capitalization.
A lot more global. So creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
That music means it's Friday. Welcome to Friday Afternoon. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, a shorter version than most because we'll make way for Blackhawks hockey, the opener in Prague coming up. Chris Bowden has the pregame in about 20 minutes. I want to start by saying thanks to everybody at the Roberti Culinary Pathway up in Waukegan. I was able to co-host a fundraiser for them along with Tom Waddell last night. It's a great group, a great organization in the studio. Andrea Haynes is here. Andrea, it's one of the places where they teach people restaurant working skills, and they have regular graduations. They've got a 93% graduation rate, and these young people, sometimes not always young, who didn't find themselves with work are now employed, and it was just a pleasure to work with them last night. So it's called the Roberti Culinary Pathway. Look it up. They're good people.
That's great. Restaurants need workers, right?
They do need workers, and we've seen a few of these pop up around the city. This is one that I happen to be involved with, and I'm just really happy to see them succeed. They're great people there. You know, we talk business stories here when you come by on Friday, Andrea from the Chicago Tribune, and we awoke to a sad story that happened actually yesterday with a Chicago CEO in San Francisco, Judson Bergman.
Yes, so he's the founder and CEO of InvestNet, which was founded in 1999, and he and his wife were tragically killed in a car accident in San Francisco. It appears it was, you know, it was late at night. They were in a cab. Mm-hmm. And another car hit them, and all four people involved in both cars died.
Yeah, it was a wrong-way collision, and the police had begun getting calls about this car going in the wrong way, and just a minute or two later, she slammed into the cab carrying Judson Bergman and his wife, Mary Miller. And it's a tragic story, obviously, and it was a great success story for him, right? I mean, he built this business. He wanted to let independent investment coaches, advisors, really be able to compete. He created this software that grew into a company worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's right. And he seemed like kind of a humble guy who had worked for Nuveen Investments and then took what he had learned there and created this sort of financial tech business. And as you mentioned, it had grown quite a bit over the years. It's now an $800 million publicly traded company. They, I'm sure, had a succession plan in place and have immediately named another CEO, but I'm sure they're in shock today, yeah, as you can tell from the stories.
Very sad story, so our thoughts certainly going out to the family there. I mean, we talked a little bit yesterday about Uber and Uber moving now into the temporary workforce. I don't think I understood yesterday that it's actually an app that's up and running. They made it available yesterday. And it's only available in Chicago, right?
That's right. They're starting it here in Chicago, and it will be based here in Chicago. And you were mentioning restaurant workers, and that's one of the categories of people that they will potentially be connecting with jobs. The idea is you can sign up on the platform, find shifts that need to be filled, and kind of get a gig.
So I know how you can call Uber and get a ride, or you can get Uber Eats and have food delivered to you. These workers must have to be sort of culled through, right, or pass some sort of clearance.
Yes.
And then they must have specific companies working with them, right?
Exactly. So companies will sign up if they know they have the potential to need these types of workers, and the workers themselves will go through screening and background checks, and also can, you know, they will need to speak up for what type of work they're able and willing to do. So the idea is to match the need with the worker.
I guess my question is, because the app's available now, right? Uber Works. If I were to download the app, I couldn't get a shift this evening, right?
I hate to speak to whether they could sign you up for this evening.
But I mean, there would have to be some sort of process.
It's pretty rapid. Yeah, there is a process to sign you up. And then, you know, I'm sure there's some amount of delay in when they can get you a gig. But the idea is that it's pretty agile, you know, once you're set up in the system and can get, you know, more last minute types of gigs.
And the nice thing, too, is that they're going to pay you quickly. They say probably within 48 hours of the shift.
That's what they say. And I'm sure if they don't, that will be an issue we'll be talking about in the coming weeks, because that's a promise that people will want kept.
Tribune Publishing was in the news, too, when it comes to business stories and their new partnership with Starbucks. So sort this out for me. I can't buy a Tribune at a Starbucks, but I can read a Tribune at a Starbucks.
Yes, I wish I could remember if you and I talked about this. A few months ago in July, Starbucks decided to stop carrying print newspapers, which of course led to many, many news stories.
Terrible decision.
You know, no more New York Times, no more Chicago Tribune in your Starbucks. It also came as the store was streamlining a little bit the products it offered generally. So it was kind of clearing out its aisles. So now Starbucks is offering digital access for free to publications, including Chicago Tribune and other Tribune Company publications, as well as the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and the Seattle Times. All of those papers have a paywall,
right,
which means you can't read very much before you're asked to sign up and pay. But when you're in the Starbucks using their own free in-store Wi-Fi, you can now access those publications.
And so is it limited in a way? I mean, if I go in every day for my cup of coffee, I can read the Wall Street Journal for an hour?
I don't know that they're limiting it that way, but it is going to be a limited sort of test period.
Okay.
So I imagine both sides of the parties here will be figuring out whether this arrangement is going to work for them.
I subscribe to the Chicago Tribune proudly, as everyone should. I don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. And there are a lot of articles I'd like to read in the Wall Street Journal. They've got a very tough paywall.
Yeah, and you know, if that brings you into Starbucks, then so Starbucks will be quite happy, right?
I mean, I might start drinking more coffee. Well, I don't know if I could possibly drink
linger
more
in
coffee.
The Starbucks, and they'll probably help you buy a few more things too.
All right, well, so we'll see how that shakes down in the next. So it's a temporary thing. It's not forever.
They have not announced right now that it's forever. They say it's a limited time offer that is, quote, just the beginning.
Okay, but they might do more. They might expand it. Even
it sounds
in some
like
way.
They're interested in the idea. You know, of kind of having these digital relationships now that they no longer have a print relationship.
And so, forgive me if we just said this, but the Tribune is one of them, but a lot of the other papers that are included are Tribune Publishing papers. So this
That's
is the
right.
Tribune.
The Tribune Tribune Publishing also owns the Baltimore Sun, the Orlando Sentinel, and New York Daily News, which are also part of this program.
Okay, so there's that. Baseball season continues for the teams that made the playoffs. For Chicago Cub fans, well, we're left with heartburn at this time of year. And no Zantac to fix it.
Yeah, so you can still probably get some Zantac, but it's getting harder. There was a situation a few weeks ago where the FDA said it had discovered low levels of a cancer-causing chemical in Zantac and related generic drugs that treat heartburn.
So then we started seeing different chains pull them off the shelves.
Exactly. So retailers have sort of been a kind of abundance of caution. They've been pulling it off the shelves. That includes Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, and Rite Aid are not carrying it right now.
And but so I'm reading in the story that the level of found of these agents, the found in Zantac, is barely exceeding the level found in foods, typical meats or dairy products or things like that. So are we worried about something we shouldn't be worried about, doctor?
It's possible. There has been another glimmer of a story, which it almost reminds me of the vaping situation where you're not always getting maybe the whole story,
right,
where there was a story just in the last 24 hours where there was maybe a little more debate about how much of this there was. So
okay,
it looks like something that they'll be looking at. Now, mind you, causing cancer is not an acute situation that's going to knock you down in the moment. So it's probably not anything to panic about, but it's something that they want to keep an eye on. And obviously the retailers are being conservative about not wanting to possibly be carrying it if there's a problem.
And of course, the maker of Zantac is dealing with a tough business story as well. Andrea Haynes, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, big news comes out of California earlier this week when, as expected, Gavin Newsom, the governor there, signed a bill that would allow college athletes to cash in to benefit from endorsement deals and things like that. The NCAA does not like it. But the college athletes and their would-be agents certainly do. And now there's a move to do the same thing in Illinois. Representative Emmanuel Welch has introduced a bill that would be very similar to California's. Joe Cahill writes about that in Crane Chicago Business, and he seems to like the idea. Joe, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
All right, so tell me about it. What would Welch's bill do here in Illinois, and is it the same as in California?
Well, it's essentially the same in that it would allow college athletes to be paid for commercial uses of their images and likenesses.
And so so you would have a star athlete, say, on the University of Illinois. Okay, it's wishful thinking, I know. They couldn't pose like in the U of I in their uniform or things like that, but they could still sell what? Posters of themselves or do endorsements for Nike or things like that?
I mean, they could do a commercial for a local car dealership if they wanted to.
And the NCAA, of course, doesn't like this idea at all?
No, not at all. They're dead set against it. They have rules barring athletes from doing this sort of thing.
And, so I know with California, the law is already in effect, so they're threatening to ban them from NCAA play. But if you've got Illinois following and other states as well, the NCAA is going to have, well, who's going to blink? Someone's going to have to blink here.
I would think so. I mean, momentum seems to be building, and if you have more and more states enacting these laws, I think the NCAA would have a hard time enforcing its ban.
And you think that the ban should be lifted, right? Tell me why.
Sure. Well, colleges don't block other students from using their talents to make money on the side. In fact, in many cases, they help students set up companies using knowledge they've gained in the classroom to create profitable businesses, and the colleges get a stake. I mean, some of the most well-known companies in the world were started by college students. You know, you've got Michael Dell of Dell Computer, the founders of Snapchat, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, of course, all started their businesses when they were in college, and the schools are happy to, you know, laud those people for doing what they did while college students.
You know, we talk about those competitions that the schools have or the different incubators at the schools, so that's a good example. I suppose people would counter by saying, yes, but the athletes are already being paid for what they do because they're on scholarship.
Well, yes, and that's a good argument against requiring the schools themselves to pay people. But this bill does not require schools to pay the athletes. It merely allows the athletes to negotiate deals with outside parties that want to pay them money to use their talents.
And the injury there to the schools would be that marketing money that might have gone their way instead will go directly to that particular athlete?
Sure. Right now they have a lock on all that kind of income, and if athletes are allowed to cut their own deals, some portion of that would start going to the athletes rather than to the schools. The schools would still get plenty of it as well, but they'd have to share some with the athletes.
Now, I'm thinking if I'm South Dakota State University and I'm trying to get a recruit and competing against the University of Minnesota or somewhere else out there, someone who can get money from a University of Minnesota marketing deal, metro area, I'm going to lose those recruits. It's going to be tough on the smaller schools.
Well, I think the smaller schools already have a hard time recruiting, and you know the whole recruiting business is not exactly Simon Pure to begin with. So, I don't find that particularly worrisome.
You write in your piece that it comes down to a question of values. Explain for me what you mean by that.
Well, there's no question that allowing college athletes to cut their own marketing deals would have an effect on college sports, and some people might not like the way it affects college sports. We really can't predict, but it's entirely possible that there will be changes that a lot of people wouldn't like, and so we have to decide whether we care more about that as a society, keeping college sports in the not so Simon Pure state that they exist in today, or do we care more about the ability of individuals to operate in a free market and pursue wealth on their own as they see fit?
Read more about it at chicagobusiness.com. That's Joe Cahill. Joe, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.